This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy, happy Friday, happy weekend. It is 8:06, and your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Get on your bike and ride. I mean, if you ride a regular bike, that's fine.
Oh, yeah.
That's good for you. But I like the mechanized, motorized type.
And I will be making combustion engine,
making the pilgrimage to the Mecca.
Potato, potato, potato.
That's right. Mm. Daytona.
Yep.
Bike week kicks off today. Please keep an eye out for motorcycles. They are everywhere. And
yes, they are.
Please pay attention. Tell people to get off their stoopy phones. All right. Whew. Here we are. Your top stories, Attorney General Bondi making demands of Cash Patel and the FBI. I want the rest of that paperwork dealing with Epstein on my desk, well, 7 minutes ago.
Mm.
Yeah, just came out yesterday. It's about 8 a.m. Want it on my desk. It's a, I guess, a rogue New York field office of the FBI. At least they've roguish behavior.
Could be future unemployed behavior.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Under this administration, this is, look, you basically, if you're playing games with that, you basically outed yourself.
Yeah.
Because the president has ordered the release. What part don't you get of that? Then Pam Bondi, who is, if you work for the Department of Justice, including the FBI, she ultimately is your boss as well.
Yeah. If one of the five things you did last week was hide files from the new AG, not good.
Yeah. Probably not going to have a long career. Virginia's Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin has directed the state's police, sheriffs, and jails to cooperate with President Trump's Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, signed an executive order that directs police, Department of Corrections, to do just that. And it directs the Secretary of Public Safety and Homeland Security to request a certification from local and regional jail authorities confirming their full cooperation with ICE, and they will cooperate with Section 287 VSP Task Force. Now, the state jails in Virginia hold nearly 1,000 deportable migrants, and 9 out of 10 of these are on ICE detainer or have ICE detainer request for violent criminals. 9 out of 10, violent. So, during former President Joe Biden's presidency, many GOP politicians quietly opposed the program because of closed-door opposition by business groups who profited by Biden's inflow of roughly 9 million illegal migrant workers, consumers, and renters. But many Republican governors, like our governor here in Florida, and legislators are now directing their state sheriffs and police departments to enroll in what they call the 287G program. And Youngkin said, as governor, protecting our citizens is my foremost responsibility. And today we're taking action that will make Virginia safer by removing dangerous criminal illegal immigrants from our commonwealth. Well, yeah. But why weren't you doing it all along? But what was getting in the way of you being able to do that? I mean, if you had... You're the governor. You put out the executive order. Why did it take till now to do that? I'm just
interesting.
I'm wondering out loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just yeah. What's the deal? And I'm glad it's being done now. Better late than never. But what was the holdup previous?
That's a good question.
Mm. Maybe he feels like he has some strong authority behind him in a Donald J. Trump administration.
That's true. Yep.
That's possible. All right. Also, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is not ruling out military strikes on fentanyl labs in Mexico. He was on with Laura Ingraham from Fox, and he said anything is on the table. The commander-in-chief, ultimately, with my consultation and with the chairman and others, will make those determinations, but nothing's off the table. Our sovereignty will be defended. He said his message to the cartels is, we're taking nothing off the table, nothing. We will do whatever it takes to secure the American homeland, to maintain our sovereignty, and to protect the American people. Hegseth made these remarks during a visit to Guantanamo Bay, where President Trump has authorized the military to temporarily detain illegal aliens crossing the United States southern border before sending them back home. All right. There's currently 30,000 beds available at the base for illegal aliens, but there are only currently about 25 people being held there. Last week, the base held 178 illegals, but 177 were sent to Venezuela last week. So that's a good thing. I mean, before they can even fill that up, they're being deported. So that's a good thing.
Nice.
And hopefully that will continue to be the deal on that. All right. And, of course, one of your other top stories that we've touched on a couple times. The Justice Department released a new batch of Jeffrey Epstein files after Attorney General Pam Bondi said she was reviewing classified documents in the case, but it's not the client list. Quote, this Department of Justice is following through on President Trump's commitment to transparency and lifting the veil on the disgusting actions of Jeffrey Epstein and his co-conspirators. Now, that is what she said in a statement today. Many of the documents were already released during Ghislaine Maxwell's federal criminal trial, which landed her in prison for decades. They include flight logs, an evidence list, a contact book, and a redacted masseuse list believed to refer to Epstein's victims. Many people named in the documents have never been accused of Epstein-related wrongdoing. However, some, like Maxwell, Prince Andrew, who has denied allegations of wrongdoing, and Jean-Luc Brunel, a French modeling agent, who, like Epstein, died in jail awaiting trial.
Another coincidence?
Yeah. No.
No.
The logs also show prominent Epstein accuser Virginia Jeffrey, known as Virginia Roberts at the time, flew with him to and from the U.S. Virgin Islands. So Epstein, he was 66 when he died in a jail cell in 2019 while awaiting trial on federal trafficking charges. His potential client list has long been an item of public interest due to his many connections to billionaire celebrities, academics, and global leaders. It has not been released.
Hmm. Does that seem like it's been almost 6 years?
No, it doesn't.
I mean, seriously, a couple of years ago. If somebody asked, yeah, a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Wow. Because, I mean, just now, I was seeing, probably over the last 6 months, not very many Jeffrey Epstein references. It used to be, and he killed himself in prison or whatever and then made a joke out of it because
nobody really believes that.
Right.
Yeah, there's that.
A federal court ordered thousands of pages of sealed records to be made public last year. They revealed nearly 200 names, many of which belong to people who were not accused of crimes. Yeah. And
that's the key right there, too.
That's where it gets tricky.
It does. Who did what?
He was a guy who was, before there was Greg and his schmooze tour, is a guy who was a schmoozer.
He's the king.
He reached out and made friends with as many people as he could, and sometimes was meeting with them, allegedly, over financial stuff and even philanthropic work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hopefully we'll get to more defining information.
Mm-hmm.
It's 8:15 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and we've got plenty more to talk about on this Friday edition, 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome and happy Friday. It is 8:20 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Attorney General Bondi, did she get the paperwork yet? We will check into it because there was not much of a release that was done. She demanded much more material from the New York field office of the FBI, and she wanted it on her desk this morning, so we'll see about that. Also, in the city of Alachua, there has been a legal bulletin that has been put out by the city of Alachua, and some of it's kind of legalese, except as expressly provided by the state constitution or general law, the legislature hereby declares that it is occupying the whole field of regulation of firearms and ammunition, including purchase, sale, transfer, taxation, manufacture, ownership, possession, storage, transportation thereof, to the exclusion of all existing and future county, city, town, or municipal ordinances or any administrative regulations or rules adopted by local and state government relating thereto. Any such existing ordinances, rules, or regulations are hereby declared null and void. Okay, so let's break it down. What does this mean, and how does it affect the Alachua Police Department? The refusal of entry of an individual legally carrying a concealed weapon into a publicly owned structure is contrary to 790.33, Florida State Statute, regardless of the event being held. Now, Greg, you know what this is about. Does this have to do with the gentleman Chris Rose and his arrest when the governor was coming to speak at a black tie, blue jeans event held by the Republican Executive Committee in the city of Alachua at the
Black tie, blue jeans event? Yeah, that was kind of Chris's point of. And he's been a really good stalwart of, and maybe I know he's listening, maybe he'll get a chance to call unless he's working already, a big stalwart, and works a lot, too, with Luis Valdez, our friend from GOA, but on the more local level, not just statewide, and that was one of his things of, you know, if you're going to get up and you're going to say, hey, I believe in the Second Amendment, except when I show up to town, that was kind of a point he was making, and he was willing to put his money where his mouth is, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
They called it the most polite arrest ever, was a quote that I saw in one place.
So he was, for principle's sake,
yes,
he put himself out there, he did get arrested, and that brought about these changes. So I think that took a certain amount of courage, for sure, and you know, moving forward, this memo states the Alachua Police Department will not comply with any request, demand, order, rule, or regulation that requires a person or persons to relinquish a legally carried concealed firearm or ammunition prior to access into any of the public buildings located within the jurisdiction of the city of Alachua unless it meets the criteria that is already set forth in 790.06. And they also put a copy of the statute for review, et cetera. So basically this means if the governor were to come back and give a speech, say, in the city of Alachua, he could not invoke a no firearms rule.
It would seem that way.
My understanding of this is not correct.
Well, and plus you've got the whole thing that statewide, typically you don't carry into government buildings, you know, that kind of thing. So just even a day-to-day, it seems like this is going to make a difference, at least in Alachua, compared to what is the standard for everything else of the state.
So this is what we would call a victory for Second Amendment advocates.
Yeah.
And you want to call yourself the Free State of Florida. This is a step in the right direction.
And that is the frustration. I mean, let's say, you know, I'll see something on one of the forums, and they'll talk about, you know, having to leave their gun in the car or something. And there's always the smart aleck that's going to go, you shouldn't be leaving it in your car anyway. Well, sometimes if you conceal carry, you are going into a school or a government building, a courthouse or whatever. You have to leave it somewhere, unless you're going to leave it home and then go to your place and go back home and get it. And that's just not really practical. So that is a frustration sometimes when you have business to take care of in the middle of your day. Do you just not carry at all that day? Or do you leave it in your car, try to secure it? Because we know that we talk to all our law enforcement friends, and theft of guns out of cars is a problem.
Yeah, I mean, so. I highly recommend a lockbox. And they make them in all different sizes. They make them like you can hide them in the console of your car, or find a place in the trunk or wherever. I mean, you can find them in all sizes and shapes to adapt to what your needs are. And is it foolproof? No, of course not. But, a guy hacking away with a sledgehammer in your vehicle hopefully will draw enough attention.
Yeah.
But, so you need to take care of that. But this is
a great local story.
I would think so.
It accomplishes something, and it shows that, you know what? If you believe in something and you stand up enough, things can actually change.
And that came from Jesse Sandusky, Chief of Police, City of Alachua.
There you go.
Or some would say Alachua.
Yes, they would.
All right.
And they know who they are.
President Donald Trump and congressional Republicans plan to use a once obscure law called the Congressional Review Act. How they want to use it? They would like to revoke the waiver that President Joe Biden gave to California for Governor Gavin Newsom's gas car ban. As Breitbart reported, Newsom announced September of 2020, mere weeks after a massive statewide shortage of electricity, by the way, that California would ban sales of gas-powered passenger vehicles by 2035. After that, electric vehicles would be mandated as part of California's effort to achieve goals on climate change policy.
Yes.
His policy was finalized in regulatory form in 2022, and Biden granted the waiver in December of 2024. And as CalMatters.org reported, the granting of the waiver by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency allows California to move forward in requiring 35% of new 2026 model cars sold in the state to be zero emissions. So that's really over a third, a third of all new vehicles. That's only months away, folks.
Mm-hmm.
What's that? Less than 10 months away? 10 months away. And 68% in 2030. So that's only less than 5 years away. And then 100% by 2035. Nearly all zero emission cars are powered by electricity. Again, California has had many issues over the years that have only gotten worse as their power infrastructure is already pushed beyond its limits with brownouts, blackouts, rolling blackouts, and now you want everybody to plug their car in and charge it?
And are they really zero emission? Only when they're running, not when they're being built, when the materials are being gotten together, or when it's being charged. So they're not really a zero-emission vehicle.
No, they're really not. So maybe even on the legalese part of it, technically, they might be able to pull the plug on it. Either way, I think Trump will win this one. It's 8:28. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy Friday, 97.3 The Sky. How do you like them eggs? Ask Amy Klobuchar. She'll tell you.
Oh, wow.
Good morning and welcome. I'll tell you more about that story coming up. It is 8:34. Happy Friday. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And good.
Oh.
I'm doing my philanthropic outreach yesterday. I was at Stone's, local bar and grill in Keystone. And on my way out, there was a young Girl Scout and her mother selling Girl Scout cookies.
And I'm so glad you ran into them.
And it's $6 a box. I thought they went up higher than that.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
No.
So, yeah, I was good with that.
Yeah.
So I bought a few. and came in and shared them with Greg. Even
yes,
the ice cold milk.
Yes,
the refrigerated thin mints,
chilled just to the right temp.
Are we in this zen zone right now?
I mean, if we just disappear, it's because we've stopped talking and we're eating thin mints and drinking milk.
Let's just chill and not let anything kill the buzz right now. Is that okay?
They're so yummy.
All right, we do have some serious stuff and maybe not so serious stuff. Let's see. Bike Week officially kicks off today. It's a Daytona Beach event, but bikers ride all over the place. You'll see an increased presence really all over the state. Some come in a little bit early, but a lot of folks look for great rides. Like, you know, if you live near the National Forest in Ocala, you already know. Every year you see many bikers rolling through there as they take in the beauty of the Ocala National Forest and other areas, you know, because, quite frankly, we live in a very beautiful place and people want to come and they want to check it out and they want to enjoy it. So just keep an eye out. It would be appreciated. This is the 84th annual Bike Week. It's been around for a while.
I'd say so.
I would say that I've made
a bunch.
Over 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think what the bikes were like back then. Wouldn't you love to have one of those?
As an extra
one, not your primary bike.
Oh, yes,
no.
Then absolutely. Nobody turns down an extra motorcycle.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and it's a good time. And one of the stories here, I'm looking at Wesh out of Orlando, Wesh TV, and they have quite a few. It's all like leading their whole website page, what to expect. The annual Daytona Bike Week, large police presence. Yeah, there's not a bunch of hooligans and racing up and down the streets. It just doesn't occur. Like I said, I've been there many, many times. The cops are tough. They are. They're very tough, and they won't put up with any shenanigans. No shenanigans until St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
Then, of course, on that one day, shenanigans is completely legal. In fact, it's demanded.
It's required, yeah.
In many ways. The Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines, and joining us, Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I am a Girl Scout lover as well. Until I heard this Joe Rogan podcast talking about glyphosate, which is basically Roundup, and all these other heavy metals that are in high concentrations in Girl Scout cookies, it kind of scared me. So
it tastes
don't want to bring down a Friday, but
you frightened me. In fact, when you said you're a Girl Scout lover, I think you meant Girl Scout cookie lover. Okay, all right. And then you mentioned heavy metal. It's like, dude, if you can't handle heavy metal, you know, put on some Barry Manilow. You know what I'm saying? Joe Rogan, he has done a lot of good, but that's awful.
That's over the line.
Come on, Joe.
Yeah, come on.
Don't make me wrestle you. What?
I don't think you'll.
That's why
do
I
that.
Said don't make me wrestle you, because I don't want to.
You don't want to get hurt.
I don't really want
Absolutely.
To. He does a lot of good. All things in moderation. Yeah, look at the ingredients. Don't go crazy on anything. But I'm hoping that will be one of the things that RFK Jr. will be successful in, is to say, look, we're not going to allow these additives. We're not going to let these are the banned substances. And of course, there shouldn't be any heavy metal at all in any of our foodstuffs. You know, whatever's within reason. I mean, I don't know what naturally could occur. I don't know what those numbers are. You know, like people freak out about arsenic. Well, yeah, you don't want to play with arsenic and poison someone, but arsenic naturally occurs in a lot of ground, in all over Florida, in fact. So, you know what I mean? But we can eliminate that. It's going directly into your body. You don't want that. And so, no, I agree with you. There should be some concerns there, and hopefully they'll eliminate that. And what did I ask for? Don't kill my buzz. And immediately, the first call is a buzz kill. All right. House Speaker Johnson, what's he up to? recent anti-GOP protests at various town halls. He said were paid for by Democrats. Paid for. Protests were paid for. This wouldn't be the first or last. That, we believe, has happened many, many times over. He made the claim during an interview with Caitlin Collins on CNN. Woo! The videos you saw, the town halls, were for paid protesters in many of those places, Johnson said. These are Democrats who went to the events early and filled up the seats. Now, Collins said that Johnson could not argue they were all paid protesters, adding that a Republican acknowledged they were his constituents. He said one Republican acknowledged they were constituents. That's fantastic. Okay. But they had Democrats come and fill the seats early. All right. This is an old playbook that they pull out and they ran, and it made it look like what they were doing, what is happening in Washington, is unpopular. And he said the American people are behind President Trump's legislative agenda. Yeah. Because, honestly, who is against cutting waste and fraud in the government?
Right. Or should be.
Yeah. No, because nobody wants a lot of waste and fraud. Nobody does. Now, the left will use this, once again, as some sort of a political weapon. And they'll tell you that it is going to be cutting really critical needs and services, et cetera.
Oh, they're talking about how many of these people are veterans that are losing their jobs. People who've fought for our country.
They'll use
anything
that they think they can get an anecdotal story and pull the heartstrings and try to paint a picture that is always very, very inaccurate. Then there's Senator Amy Klobuchar.
Klobuchar. Okay.
Of course, she's anti-Trump. And here's the thing. The New York Times interviewed her, and the New York Times doesn't necessarily do gotcha stories on Democrats, do they?
Not usually.
They interviewed Klobuchar, though, and specifically got into her insistence on bringing up the price of eggs and using it, seemingly, to suggest that President Trump has failed, despite his being in office just over a month after 4 years of rising prices and rampant inflation under the Biden administration. The Times asked her about this messaging, seemingly centering primarily on eggs, and asked a very simple question. What did you last pay for a dozen eggs in Minnesota, her home state? Right?
Right. Because, she's always hanging out of the Piggly Wiggly buying eggs, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And looking for BOGOs.
Oh, yeah.
Klobuchar did not immediately answer the question. Instead, she said, I'll have to check at our local grocery store.
Uh-huh.
I just got some last week, so I don't want to give you the wrong figure.
Wow.
But I know they have definitely gone up.
Like a week would have made the difference in her response.
Well, not only that much, but really. Yes, they've definitely gone up. Well, they went up like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Long before President Trump was in office. And in fact, the egg thing really is a bit of an anomaly and doesn't have as much to do with inflation as all the other food costs.
No, it's called taking out the chickens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she, again, wants to appeal to people who notice that price increase at the grocery store. Many of them use eggs as a regular part of their diet, and so yes, they're irritated by that, and she tries to turn around and make it into a political weapon against President Trump. She's wrong on all different levels, and she's so out of touch with her constituents that she really doesn't know what a dozen eggs go for. Again, are we surprised?
Not a bit.
Not so much. Yep. Turns out about $8.50 for a dozen eggs in Minnesota.
Really? Wow.
It's 8:45 right now. It is Friday. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. More headlines, information, input from you on the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. It's all coming your way on 97.3. The Sky. Things seem to be going relatively well in the world. Is that true? It's 8:49. Good morning and happy Friday. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Don't forget the Bob Rose Show podcast available wherever you normally download your podcast. You can use the Audacy app, AUDACY, and just click on subscribe and you'll never miss a minute of the show. So you think there's going to be some kind of peaceful talks? We've already moved so much further in the Ukrainian-Russian situation than Biden did over 3 years in office. In fact, he hadn't talked to Putin in any way, shape, or form for the last 3 years that Biden was in office. That's not leadership, certainly not diplomacy, certainly not somebody who appears to want peace. Oh, yeah, that's right. Right after a bunch of Jews were slaughtered in Israel on October the 7th, oh, yeah, Biden couldn't spew fast enough out of his silly little lips about a ceasefire. A ceasefire. Yeah. Okay. So what's going on? Zelensky, president of Ukraine, he's going to the White House today. He's going to sign an agreement, and the U.S. will be privy to some mineral rights. That will help us to recoup some of the cost of basically supplying them with money and weapons. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. And I remember the naysayer said he'll never do it. It appears that Zelensky is doing it. And some of the European leaders, you know, they're not happy about that.
Hey, they're the ones that gave the money and got guaranteed to get paid back. We did not.
Yeah. Follow the guy who wrote the book on the art of the deal.
Yeah.
And European leaders are weary of President Donald Trump's push to secure a peace deal between Ukraine and Russia. The EU's top diplomat saying that Russian President Vladimir Putin doesn't really want peace. Well, that may or may not be true. He is definitely entitled to his opinion. Maybe he does or maybe he doesn't. But even if he doesn't want peace, he may find within the confines of an agreement that peace is actually in his best interest. But you would never know that if you never sit down with anybody and you never have a real conversation and you never lay out any possibilities. The Biden administration did zero. He did nothing. Diddly squat. Not even that. Trump on Thursday said his administration had been in very good talks with Russia. He didn't expand on whether any tangible progress in ending the war had begun, but he said they had very good talks with Russia. Any talks, any communication, once again, is far more than Biden and the Biden administration attempted to do at all. I mean, they didn't do anything. Some NATO allies, as well as the U.S. Decades-old partners, are increasingly frustrated with Trump's controversial comments about Ukraine and what has been perceived as a cost of Washington bettering ties with Moscow. Yeah, there's going to be some that don't like that. Open communications, even with your adversary, has been found, in most cases, to help avoid war, avoid conflict, avoid bloodshed. It's always a better way to go than no communication at all. The U.S. is talking to Russia, and you have to establish contacts. This is from the Foreign Affairs High Representative Security Policy, Kaja Kallas from the EU, told Fox News in a sit-down interview. But right now, Russia doesn't really want peace. Russia wants us to think that they can wait us out and that time is on their side, but it's not really so, she continued. If we increase the pressure, economic pressure on them, but also political pressure, if we support Ukraine so that they would be stronger on the battlefield, then they would be stronger behind the negotiation table. Now, again, I'm not a person who sits in this, you know, high authority like that spokesperson for the EU, but does anybody really think that Ukraine can defeat Russia? I think that Ukraine has done a tremendous job just fighting to a virtual stalemate. I think they've done incredible.
Who thought it would last 3 years without Russia just rolling in?
Exactly. Now, I remember seeing another story, and you have to wonder how much of this is propaganda where, oh, the Russian army is now filled with old men.
Right. Yeah.
That's what they're saying. Basically, these are guys that are retired, and because they're offered a good deal, they're going back in. And that sounds a lot like the stories of, oh, yeah, they've got to unwrap Jeeps that, you know, were rusting away from the 1950s and try to put them back into service. I saw some of those stories, and I never saw any follow-up. I never saw any visual confirmation of any of that taking place. So, again, we live in this world of, you know, who do you trust? Who's telling the truth? The warning comes from the EU. The warning comes as Trump and Ukrainian President Zelensky are set to secure the mineral rights deal today in what some hope could eventually help ceasefire discussions. Yes, that is, you know, part of the big idea behind it. Trump's championed his ability to re-enter talks with Russia and his successful demands that NATO nations share more of the economic burden in securing Ukraine. NATO allies did drastically ramp up their defense spending after Russia's invasion of Ukraine in 2022, but the stark reversal of U.S. policy in Ukraine between the Trump and Biden administrations has sent some European nations reeling. All right. So we'll see how these things unfold, as at least President Trump is taking a very active role in negotiations. And obviously, I believe that that is a good thing. In terms of international security, we need to work together with the Americans who have been our allies for a very, very long time and have been there for America. That was also coming from the spokesperson from the EU, Ms. Kallas, who served as the first female prime minister of Estonia, pointed to the sacrifices that NATO troops made in aiding the U.S. fight in the war on terror. We, as Estonia, lost many soldiers per capita as the United States. We were there when you asked for help. All right. President Trump wants to be a great ally and a partner with the EU, but they have obligations they have to meet as well. And he's going to hold them to those kinds of things. They may not care for that. But that's the way it is, and that's the way it should be. And the 9 o'clock stretch is coming up. It's right around the corner. Get your motor running. Today's the official start of the 84th Bike Week in Daytona Beach. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky.